Why in the world was this movie made?
Show. This is, of course, the Star Trek film franchise wrap-up episode, where we'll be summarizing our scores and, taking a second look. Maybe in hindsight, we, have some decisions need to be made.
I have a question. We all know the word recap, right? Is it actually an abbreviation for recapitulation? Is that correct? Am I out of my mind here? What?
I don't know what it could possibly mean.
I thought recapitulation was some kind of musical term.
Maybe it is.
Oh, yeah, it is, actually. That's true. Recapitulation is like the theme is stated and then it recapitulates later. I think that's probably where it's from. So it's a repetition of...
Is that where the word recap comes from?
Well, I actually have access to this thing called the internet.
I don't know what
and,
it is.
And the... Dictionary, according to Google, says that recap is state again as a summary, recapitulate.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
Yep. Wow. Colin knew something. Weird. and recapitulate means repeat.
Recap.
It means repeat. Oh, it's in biology, it's repeat an evolutionary or other process during growth. And that's
Ooh,
it.
Biological.
Yeah. Doesn't say anything about the other. There must be other uses for recap, but. Oh, summarize and state again the main point of. And I do think it's a musical term.
Hmm.
Remember those old Herbal Essences commercials?
About shampoo that gets you off?
Yeah.
Yeah. They were very erotic. Mm-hmm. Are you going to recapitulate one of those for us?
They lied. Have you ever tried to jack it with shampoo before?
It stings. It stings a little bit, yeah.
Yep.
Stupid Herbal Essences.
Yeah. Lying bastards. Well, this show's off to a great start.
that leads us right into Star Trek.
So, enough about jacking off with shampoo. So this is, of course, going to be our recap of the 6 original Star Trek The Motion Picture episodes, because... our Next Generation episodes that we did are behind the paywall. So if you haven't joined our Patreon account, get on that.
Fuck
it's
you.
Only $1. Yeah, fuck you. Quit listening to free stuff, you freeloaders. Yeah, it's only $1 a month for a ton of great episodes of random shit. Like all the Star Trek Next Generation episodes, which is, yeah. Yeah, I would pay about $1 a month to hear more about Star Trek The Next Generation.
Yeah.
A dollar a month is cheap.
Yeah. That makes sense.
And hey, great news. So with our upcoming Exorcist series, we'll be going back, our Patreon will be going back to, what it originally was, which was just us organically finding a movie amidst our conversation that we also need to talk about.
Like Cliffhanger or Twister or Hard Boiled, the action classic. Or some other random
thing. Now it's
going
to be Sequest because...
Oh, yeah, Sequest is going to be high on our list of yeah. The people, the Heracites have demanded more Sequest content on this show. there's a lot of overlap between my fans and Jonathan Brandis fans, so we'll probably end up covering Ladybugs at some point.
That's a known thing. That's been around for a long time.
So yes.
It's way before the podcast. A lot of people just would walk up to Harris, and they'd be like, you know what? I don't know why I'm telling you this, but I really love Jonathan Brandis, and I got a good vibe from you, buddy.
Yeah, I get that a lot. I've always have. All right, so
she was a baby.
Should we talk about these movies now?
Yeah, let's do it. So
you got the scores all tallied up.
Yeah, I kind of forget how I did it last time for Mission Impossible. Do I go from least, like lowest score,
shittiest to highest? I think.
Yeah. Okay, let's do that. So coming in 6th place is a movie that we hated. No, hate is a strong word. I mean, this is a flawed movie. This movie, of course, is Star Trek V, The Final Frontier. you know, it was problematic, low budget. It was hindered by a low budget, which I believe was the main reason why it sucked. Harris believes it was the script. He's probably right.
We could both be right.
Yeah, that is true.
There's a lot of blame to go around.
Could be the direction.
Yeah, there's a lot of blame to go around.
I do think this was the worst one, but honestly, it was one I really looked forward to and really enjoyed making a podcast about. So there's that.
Yeah. I mean, it was so dumb. It was like one of the dumbest. I think I said in my summation that it was some of the dumbest shit I've ever seen in any movie ever. And yet, I gave it a 4, so I didn't hate it. It wasn't like it wasn't entertaining.
Yeah, it's not just bad, it's also interesting. But still bad. But also interesting.
Right. I just, you know, honestly, one of my bigger regrets was that it actually there was a level of competence to it in some respects that made it not one of those things that's like so perfectly bad that it's awesome. Like, if it had just been a total garbage fire, the entirety of it, it probably would have been better, but it kind of got...
Yeah, it would have more redeeming qualities.
Which would all be total faults, but they would redeem it in some way, you know?
Yeah, it sort of makes it like a sort of a forgettable nothing movie.
Yeah.
You know, it's just sort of in that nether realm between good and bad.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes a bad movie can be worth your time because it's funny or, you know, it's so bad that it's just like you have to just like watch it in awe. You have to be in awe of it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a house fire or something, you know, like, yeah. So that
sounding
movie,
suspiciously like an arsonist at this point.
I just have to watch.
I just have to watch it burn.
So we gave that movie a collective 5.8, which is being rounded up to a 6.
I'll say this. Cybok was way, way better than the Seventh Heaven guy.
Yes. Totally true.
But not much better.
No, way better.
Our next movie, number 5, coming in hot, is a misunderstood movie. A movie that over time has grown in respect and honor. And
not for me.
Gratitude amongst audience members. The movie, of course, is the movie that started it all. We wouldn't be here without this movie. We'd be lost, and we would not have this great collection of films to look back upon. The movie, of course, Star Trek, the motion picture, 1979, it's a classic film.
Mm-hmm. It's so boring. It's so boring. It's just so boring. It's so slow. It's just got no story. It's got some nice things to look at. It's not like it's without any redeeming qualities, but I would have to say that the only thing of value that Star Trek, the original Star Trek movie, provides is that it made them rethink everything and go low budge and force a lot more creativity and a lot more action in the sequel Wrath of Khan. I think as a thing that was so misguided that it created Wrath of Khan, that's a merit that this movie has, but there's not a lot else that I like about it.
Could you imagine if they came at this series with Wrath of Khan as the first movie and they gave it the budget that the first movie had? And then it was successful, and so the next movie would have an even bigger budget.
I think these movies would have all probably made more money and been more popular.
Yeah, that's interesting.
It's almost hard to imagine, though, because they wouldn't have chosen Khan. They wouldn't have been looking for that. They, you know, to make the first movie, they wouldn't have been looking back through the old episodes to try and rehash any character. They would have been trying to go bigger and more original, you know. It just it's sort of like,
and that's what they did.
Yeah,
but they did it in all the wrong direction. Like all the choices they made to make it bigger and to make it like all the choices they made to deviate from the TV show, I think, were the flaws. And all the choices they made to keep it the same were every bad decision they could make. Of like, they spent all this money and time on the special effects and the models and everything, which were so intricate and elaborate and great, and then they wanted to show them off, and then they had this lightweight script that couldn't handle it, so they ended up having to just cut to more and more of these glamour shots, which served no purpose. You know, that was, I don't know.
The special effects, the models, and I would say their production design and costumes were all like really amazing pieces of work, though.
Yes, I gave it 3 points for that aspect of the movie.
For those three aspects.
And I gave it 1 point because Colin looked really sad and I felt bad for him. But nothing else based on the movie. This really, in my mind, this is a three. And if we are allowed to change our scores, this is the one that I would change. I would drop it down one.
Wow.
What?
That's
no. That's not what you were going to do.
No, that's
always
been
what
you were going
to raise your Star Trek 4 score up.
This is
you were going to boost your 4.
This inherently helps my 4 because it makes it look bigger.
I don't believe you.
It's like trimming your pubes.
Yep.
I don't believe it.
No, the real problem with this is that I also gave what's it called? Star Trek 5 a 4. And I liked Star Trek 5 better than I liked Star Trek the Motion Picture. I think Star Trek 5 is a better movie.
Well, we're going with the rule here that if you're going to make one change to one movie, it can only be moved forward or back by a score of one.
Yeah, right. So he's going to go up one on Star Trek 4. No. We already know what's going to happen.
According to my records, Harris, you gave Star Trek 1 a 4.
I did. And I would like to move that down to a 3 to its rightful place. I feel that's the only score I feel bad about. I feel like I nailed all the other ones. And I feel like that actually creates a nice equilibrium because there's better movies that weren't rated much higher than this because it was a 4. Like, you know, I think I gave Search for Spock a 5. And it's not, Search for Spock is not slightly better than The Motion Picture. It's significantly better than The Motion. It's at least 2 Timothy Dolphins better.
Wow.
Whole dolphins, by the way. Not this half dolphin bullshit.
Yeah.
That I think, is it just our guests that give half dolphins sometimes?
Yeah,
I want to ask them, like, which half of the dolphin are you giving, the head or the ass?
That's good.
It makes a difference.
It's a huge missed opportunity right there.
Is there a blowhole involved or a dorsal
fin? We'll spring it on the next guest who tries to give us a half a dolphin on something.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I'm looking at it. There were 3 guests who gave a 0.5, a half score.
Yep.
Crazy. All right, so that's our first change. Wow, our score change.
I regret nothing.
That could be the score change sound effect.
All right. Even when it's good, even when it goes up.
When it's good, I'll play something else.
All right.
All right. So next up, number 4 on I should say for Star Trek 1, it received now the average is different. I'm going to have to do some math now.
Uh-oh.
The average was 6.5, which has been raised to a 7. But now, officially, let's see what we got here. All right, that drops it down to a 6.2, which makes it, so now its average is a 6 instead of a 7. All right, so let me update that.
This is all making sense. I feel like this is all coming together.
This is a good idea. All right. So now moving on to number 4 on our list. This is a movie that was divisive and, you know, it could have been better. It could have been a lot worse, but somehow it stood firmly in the middle, middle of the road.
The meh category.
Yeah. This movie we're talking about is 1984's Star Trek III, The Search for Spock.
They looked
number
for
4.
Mm-hmm.
They looked for him.
They looked
right.
for him.
Did they find him? Only one way to find out. Mm. Listen to our podcast.
Yeah, watch the movie. Yeah. And what is V'ger? That movie, the way Harris hates it so much is like, I imagine it being so much worse if it's spoiled. I know where I'm backtracking. I'm sorry. So I think that's like one of the worst spoilers. If you spoil a movie that someone wouldn't like and you spoiled like the spoiler, that's bad. That's like a high crime. But I love spoilers.
Are you going to edit this back into the previous conversation about the motion picture, or are you just going to cut it completely?
Well, that's for me to decide and for you to see.
Okay, Search for Spock was great. We all know it. Whatever.
You know what? I wonder if this one didn't suffer slightly from, like, comparison to Wrath of Khan, you know?
Of course it did.
Because Wrath of Khan was so good, and this just was... I think the first thing I said about it in my summation was that it's not as good as Wrath of Khan.
Yeah. Those were literally the first words out of your mouth.
Yeah.
I was like, what's up, Harris? And you're like, this was not as good as the Wrath of Khan.
Yeah. But it had good Bones' performance. Christopher Lloyd was good in it. It had its moments. The fight at the end with Christopher Lloyd on the planet, the lava planet, and just like how hilarious it was, but also pretty, yeah, also pretty cool. The backflip was fucking.
The backflip
amazing.
Gives it a point.
Yeah,
whatever
exactly.
Your score was, it should go up a point.
Yeah, it does.
Kirk, I have had enough of you. That's what he does while he's kicking him. It's a little silly.
You know what? I realized something sad, though. If Colin really wanted to improve the score of a movie, like, say, for instance, The Search for Spock, he gives everything nines, so he can't really go up unless he wants to give it a 10. Colin, you could only downgrade these things.
He literally gave everything a 9 except for 1 and 5, which he gave an 8. He docked them 1 point.
Just because you can do something doesn't mean you should.
This movie had an average... so no changes here, huh?
No.
Okay, this movie had an average of 6.6, and that rounds up to a 7.
I think it's better than a 6, for sure.
It's a 7.
Yeah. That's just math right there.
I'm just talking to all those people.
Obvious math.
I'm just talking to all those people out there who refuse to round on principle.
Yeah.
The next little ditty on our list is we're in the top 3 now. This is the third best film according to us Licensed to Watch podcast. We are issuing licenses here, and we're saying that this movie probably should be watched. This movie, of course, is Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country, a movie that we reviewed most recently, 2 weeks ago. And
yeah, 2 weeks ago.
Podcast
felt
magic.
Like yesterday.
yeah, I mean, this movie has a lot going for it. It was fun. It, you know, was brisk. It looked good. It sounded good. By all means, it's one of the best ones.
Yeah.
You know, only docked because the other two films we feel are better than this, you know.
Yeah, it doesn't do anything wrong. It doesn't do anything like super right, but it gets all the Star Trek stuff that you want right. And it's paced
it's the
paced
least
really
corny.
Well. Yeah, exactly. It's actually like it's got jokes that are funny but not corny. It's got like some intrigue in the plot and some good twists that I think were surprising, and just really competent director. Like the best director in the series from Wrath of Khan is back to, you know, nail it again. So
I still stand by what I said, that it's one of the most accessible, I think, of all of these.
Yeah.
Like, to anyone coming from any background of whatever kind of fan of whatever shit they like.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this movie... Let's see. It actually, the average came out to be an exact 7. There was
That's
no
right.
rounding needed. Yeah.
That's right. I wonder how that happened.
All right. Numero dos on our list is a classic film. By all means, it should be at the top of this list, but somehow it's not. this movie is about saving whales and saving our souls. It's, of course, Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home.
It's just so awesome. This one, I think, also suffers from the fact that you compare it to Wrath of Khan. Because it's a very different movie, but you kind of have to compare it to Wrath of Khan because they're in the same narrative, basically.
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of felt like I was able to watch this one really on its own merits and think about it independently because it's so different. And it really, and I liked that about it. I liked that it was just like, fuck it, we're doing something crazy. We're going to put them on Earth in the present day, which is the past for them. And we're going to have a plot about saving the fucking whales. And it's just like, it's so insane and it shouldn't have worked at all. And the fact that it worked at all is really... It's really incredible. Yeah. It's like amazing that they got away with this and that it works as well as it does. I only gave it a 6, which isn't a bad score for me. But like that definitely reflects a positive sentiment for this movie. I enjoyed the hell out of it and thought it was really fun. And
me personally, I think watching 2, 3, 4 back to back is the best.
Yes.
And like
They make you said before we started, I think, you said they make a really good trilogy. Yeah. And I didn't get what you meant. And then when I found out what this one was about, I was like, oh God, what the hell is he talking about? but it makes a nice, it really does make the perfect conclusion of that story arc, you know?
Yeah. And it's, I mean, like, watching three movies in one day is kind of like something movie fans do.
Do you highly recommend this viewing method?
Oh, hell yeah. I know I've watched all three in a row, I think, with commercials, like, on cable before. So, I mean, that's like, that's a full-on day.
It's like a 14-hour feat.
Yeah. If you started with the motion picture, if you started your marathon there, I don't know if anybody would stay for the next movie.
you love bashing that one.
And if you tried to watch all six of them in a day, I think you might go clinically insane. But if you just focused on two through four, that's like a solid trilogy, and it ends on a high note where it's like, it's not the best one of the three, but it's the most fun, I think. And it leaves you feeling like it leaves you up, you know?
I'm just, like, imagining, you know, like, a waiter in a nice restaurant, and he's got, like, a really fancy dessert tray, and, like, all the desserts just look amazing. And then Harris is sitting there, and he's looking at all the desserts, and they all look so amazing, and you're like, why won't he pick one? And then finally he picks, like, a note card, and it's just, like, you know, someone bashing Star Trek the motion picture, and it's like, this is the most delightful.
This is delicious.
Excellent choice, sir. Excellent choice.
Eat this right up.
Yeah. That's a Voyage Home reference.
Do you have anything better than this? Do you have anything sweeter than this? Well, we have a man insulting Star Trek the Motion Picture, if you're interested. Oh, I'll have that.
That sounds good.
We have a man dressed as Star Trek the Motion Picture, and another man kicks him in the balls. Ooh, yeah, I'll have that. Yes, please.
I'm torn between saving the whales and bashing a film from 40 years ago.
Yeah, delightful. Anything else to say about the Voyage Home? You guys must have more to say about it.
It's just so good.
That's it. Yes. You both gave it nines. The nines speak for themselves.
Captain There Be Whales Here, one of the great lines in cinematic history.
Yeah, it's just classic. I mean, it's the one I want to rewatch right now the most. If you said to me right now I could choose six movies and watch one of them, I would pick that right now.
I know that we argued that she's possibly a little problematic, but I really love the female lead character in this one. Like, she just really, really loves whales, and she's willing to give up her life in the 80s to fucking go to some unknown future where she has no understanding of anything.
And then they have the invisible ship that the people are walking into that the garbage men are afraid of. There's so many things that, once again, things that really shouldn't work and sometimes kind of don't, but that, like, are also awesome. I have to say, Matt, I don't know if I'll ever watch any of these Star Trek movies again, even though I own them on Blu-ray and can access them anytime I want. I don't know if I'll ever watch any of them again, but this would come in a very close second to Wrath of Khan. I think, like, I would enjoy, those are the two movies that I know I would, if I watched them again, would enjoy start to finish and wouldn't like be like, oh, what the hell did I think I wanted to watch this for? They are fun movies.
Yeah. So speaking of Wrath of Khan, let's move on to our first, well, I should say the scores. So Voyage Home received a 7.7 from us, which rounds up to a solid 8.
Yeah. That's what I round up to too.
Oh God. Are you talking about feet tall?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. It's not what I'm talking about.
All right.
Why
so
are you whispering?
The first on our list is, of course, Star Trek II: The Wrath of Khan, which is by all means like a classic, and it's like totally.
Did you just say the first song on our list?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought you did for a second.
Did anybody ever write a song called The Wrath of Khan, though? Because that would be pretty cool.
I can almost guarantee they did.
Okay. You go on, Matt. I'm Googling Wrath of Khan's song.
Well, I was totally thrown off, so I don't know what the fuck I was saying. But,
I'm really sorry. And it's my fault, and I'm sorry.
But yeah, I mean, all the other movies are basically inferior to this one. It's thematically well-rounded. It, you know, gives all the characters lots to do. It was the first movie of the series to do a lot of the things that it did. It had action, it had adventure, emotion, you know, cool visuals, nice, you know, exciting villain, ship battles. It just had it all.
I like how in the fandom, this is like seen as, you know, the kind of presumptive number one, you know, of throughout the fandom. And it's kind of like an inside joke of like, yes, this movie is superior. And like, that's what Khan is. He's just someone who thinks he's superior because he's like genetically engineered to be superior. It's kind of funny.
Are you saying you think this movie is genetically engineered to be superior? Kind of was.
I guess so.
Well, I would like to make a score change here. I don't know if that's the best sound effect. Maybe this? Yeah. Okay. When we reviewed this movie, I enjoyed it, of course. But my big takeaway was that it doesn't really stand the test of time. To watch it now, it has cheesy moments. Obviously, some of the acting is not great, and like, just off the top of my head, the costumes that Chekhov and the other guy wear when they go down, they're just silly looking, you know. Like, I think a lot of the literature and lines that Ricardo Montalban was spewing are, you know,
hammy.
I don't know, hammy for sure. I mean,
I was focused on his titties. I'd never heard a thing that came out of his mouth.
His titties were the showstopper.
Yeah. I was like 3 bonus points for those. This might have been a 6, but just a bonus point for each titty and a bonus point for them together as a pair.
And there's the way that Judson Scott looks at him. True. It's like, I want to look at him like Judson Scott looks at him.
Yeah. I want to paint him like my French girls. Paint me Judson.
Paint me like Judson.
French girls. Anyways, go ahead, Matt. We're doing exactly what we did in the podcast, which is Matt's trying to make a point about Wrath of Khan, and we're interrupting him to make jokes.
Yeah, it all comes full circle, much like this series. No, I knew you guys were going to hit it with 9s and 9.5s, and honestly, I'm surprised it didn't get a 10 from one of you jerks. So I knew going into it that I was going to, you know, go low, and low for this movie was a 7 for me. And in hindsight, I think I was being cruel, and I think I was being, you know, just
contrarian.
That there's a word that I need. And so I'd like to change my score, and I'd like to move it up from a 7 to an 8, where it probably should be.
Womp, womp, womp.
Very good score. You know what that's a lot of? That is a lot of Timothy Dolphins.
I'm not prepared for that.
You know, we can do this in post.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. What is that average? Oh, so our original average for that was 8.6, which of course rounds up to a 9. And now we are officially at, let's see.
I feel like we got to edit in some drum roll here.
We are at an 8.8, which of course also rounds up to 9.
Yeah, you did it, Matt.
Yes. Math. This has been Math Podcast.
Yeah. He totally wasn't using a calculator.
Yep. Good stuff.
I'll be editing that part out. So our series average for the whole thing is, let's see.
Have you averaged the other series that we've done?
I did Mission Impossible when we started doing this.
So what's the average of Mission Impossible?
It's a great question. I will pull that up in a second. Right now, the average for Star Trek is 7.1.
Oh, that's really high.
License to Watch.
Because of Colin's constant nining of everything. That's the problem. I love all the Mission Impossible movies, but I wasn't going to give them all 9s just on principle.
Wow, you know what? Our series average for Mission Impossible was 7.6, which is... Oh, I'm an idiot. I wrote that that's a 7. That's an 8. So we're actually saying that Mission Impossible is a better series than...
In spite of all of Colin's 9s.
Yeah.
That makes sense. As a whole, it is.
Yeah.
I mean, you're assigning a lot of blame towards me, but your low scores are also sandbagging the...
My low scores were incredibly accurate and deserved. They were well-earned by those shitty movies.
That motion picture burn.
And no, the motion picture is the only one that I really didn't like at all. They were all watchable.
I would take the motion picture any day over Final Frontier.
Really?
Final Frontier was killer, man.
I don't know. It was kind of had like a goofy charm. I thought the stuff that was dumb about it actually kind of worked in weird ways. But I honestly wish it was dumber.
To me, it's what I said before. Cybok over the Seventh Heaven guy every day.
Yeah, that's me too. That's 100%. Like, at least there was, like, some fun and levity. It's just, the first one was just so, like...
Humorless.
Humorless and serious and morose and slow and, I don't know. At least the Cybok one had a lot of story, you know? It had a lot of stuff happening. It was, you know, it was moving.
I don't, like, dislike the things that the motion picture did nearly as much as Harris. I think it does a lot of cool stuff, but I really don't like that one actor, and it is slow. I mean, like... You can feel it slow in a good way or slow in a bad way, but it's still slow.
Yeah, I feel like I need Sean Jarrett back here to. We need to announce him back in.
Oh my God!
Coming down the ring, it's Sean Jarrett's music. Sean Jarrett's coming down the ring.
He's gonna wrestle.
He's got. Oh yeah! Did someone say something negative about the motion picture?
Oh my God! He's gonna bash him over the head with a model of a spaceship.
All right, so that's it. So thanks to all our guests for helping us get here,
and Mike Fink did a nice interview with us about the motion picture. Speaking of the models, I thought that was a great interview. Is that behind our paywall? Is that on the Patreon?
Nope, that's free. Anyone can listen to that.
Well, we should have made them pay for it. That was good stuff.
Well, next time. Well, yeah, so that's that. Thanks to our guests, I said. And Star Trek up next. You know, I'm glad that we're doing The Exorcist. It's a step away from movies that are based on shows from the 60s. Mm-hmm. Actually, that's crazy that all three, like James Bond, Mission Impossible, and Star Trek are all derived from the 60s.
Yeah, context. Interesting. Yep.
Exorcist is 70s, though.
Also,
yeah, so.
But the book was 60s. Later. The book was 60s, right?
Probably. That's true.
Maybe. I'm not sure.
Yep. Or maybe.
Well, the
like
Bible
70.
Is from before that.
The Exorcist is based in the Bible, as we all know.
Damn it. Yeah, we're going way back.
Well, it'll also be interesting because it's the first one that none of us have a particular attachment to. And in fact, it's the first time we've done a movie that none of us have seen all of them. Or really any of them except for the first one. Like, we've seen the first one. We've all seen the first one, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
So we've all seen the first one, but we haven't seen any of the sequels, which will be weird because Mission Impossible I'd seen all of. You know, a bunch of us had seen a bunch of the James Bond movies, and Colin is a freaking Star Trek guru. So this will be a weird one where we're kind of, nobody necessarily has a rooting interest, and we're kind of all coming into the sequels kind of fresh, which will be fun.
I got one rooting interest, and that's for the Jazzercist.
Oh, my God.
It's the fucking Jazzercist.
Well, I mean, you know, I think we'll have some new fun bits that we'll pull out for, you know, it's going to be a spooky, spooky old time. We'll have a lot of that sound effect.
You're gonna end up having to edit that out of my mic because it's blasting in my headphones.
Yeah, oh, that hit me in the ears pretty hard. Oh.
Good stuff.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to get down and get spooky with y'all.
Yeah.
Are any of these like period pieces, or are they all just like contemporary?
I believe, funny story, I think I've seen the fourth one. I'm pretty sure I saw it in the theater, but I have zero recollection of it. But I know the fourth and fifth one are prequels.
Yeah.
So they take place, I don't remember how much further, like before the first movie they're supposed to take place, but I don't think it's very far.
Yeah, the fourth one is Exorcist, The Beginnings, and then the recut of that is Dominion, a prequel to The Exorcist.
Yes.
So that should spell it out. And I was just scrolling through them today just to see what they looked like. I was like just scrolling through all the different movies, and I couldn't believe how different they looked like in terms of one of them just looks like it's got a ton of scenes that are taking place in a whole different world from where the other one is all in one location and has a bunch of other scenes that like look totally different. I don't know. I think it'll be really fascinating. Even if they're both train wrecks, it could be really interesting to see them and how they're cut together.
Well, I always like to talk about the pop culture like point of view. And yeah. I always imagine that our ratings will like, you know, be a little different from like what the rest of the world thinks. But I mean, so far, I feel like with Mission Impossible and Star Trek, we've kind of like hit exactly what everybody else thinks.
Yeah.
But I think this movie hasn't been, or this series rather, hasn't been dissected as much as those two franchises I just mentioned. Mm-hmm. The one thing I do know is that Exorcist 3 now, like over the course of time, is looked back upon as a good movie. People like that one. The fourth and fifth one, I don't know much about. I'm curious to see, since they're sort of like trying to achieve the same thing, I'm curious to, you know, pick those apart. And then the second one, I don't know much about, but I watched the trailer, and it looks like a lot of the same actors from the first one came back. And,
yeah. Linda Blair, yeah, like, kind of grown up a little bit a couple years later.
Yeah.
I've seen Exorcism of Emily Rose, and we had to establish that that is not actually part of this franchise earlier. I'm kind of anxious to see if basically all Exorcism-related movies are kind of the same, because to me, that movie was like very much just an Exorcist movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I read something actually today. There was an article that said there's going to be a reboot of The Exorcist, and then it was quickly like shot down. And William Friedkin was basically like, no, we're never going to remake this. And then someone was like, every Exorcism of Emily Rose movie that's come out like since then is essentially trying to be a remake of The Exorcist. Yeah. So there you go. Yeah. We have that. That'll be our next show, Exorcist Part 1.
Look forward to the development of a narrative we're going to pitch to our listeners of The Exorcism of Harris McCabe.
What about the jazzercism of Harris McCabe?
No, I want to get jazzercised. I've got the jazz demon in me.
You've got the real demon in me. I'm putting on some weight here. I need to jazzercise this.
You made a deal with like a real demon that was like, I will show you the secrets of hating Star Trek the Motion Picture. If you come with me. And you were like, ooh, delightful. And I was like, I got hit with the jazz demon. He was like, hey, buddy, snap, snap.
And he looked just like Roy Scheider as Bob Fosse and all that jazz.
Yes.
Don't say yes like you know what I'm talking about. You just said.
I don't. But it sounds like anyways. I do.
Anyways, so we'll talk about Roy Scheider a lot more on our Sequest DSV.
Bonus episodes behind the paywall where we cover the entire show. You know what? We might be covering the Exorcist book. We might be covering the Exorcist TV show. You never know what sort of
we might be covering ourselves in Exorcist posters and running around in the streets. You never
know. And ectoplasm, if you know what I mean.
Oh, no, I think gross. I do.
Oh, it's a spooky ghost. All
right. All right, that's good. Let's just end it on that note.
All right. Till next time.